broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about and where we go anywhere to, to bring to you El Trutho, man, where truth is our bitch. You know, we go places other talk shows cannot, will not go. And our radio show, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Good evening. It's a Tuesday night. We got part one of the two-part American Idol finishing tonight. Vernon Dozier is going to be joining us in a moment, counseling particularly young people in his class, in his school, on whether or not to go into professional performing, to mimic or to follow in the footsteps of some of the kids that are on American Idol, because there are questions that some of the kids have, maybe their parents too, and maybe some of the teachers, about American Idol and what it takes to be a successful performer these days. So we'll be talking with him, and then in an hour, Robert Green from Fraser Foods, highlighting Family Safety Week, and he'll be talking to us about the Casey Anthony trial. And we're live on our website at philhendryshow.com right now, Phil TV in HD. As a matter of fact, we're not at the El Pacifico here. We're at our remote studio with the skyline of Los Angeles right behind us. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. If you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and right there you'll be able to click on VIP Backstage Pass Access. You can get a subscription to our website and watch our live online web television. You can listen to our thousands and thousands of hours of archive material, our daily podcasts, and so many other things there at philhendryshow.com. So the American Idol performance tonight, described, by the way, by some of the critics as falling flat, is the final performance night. So when I say there's two parts, really what we're talking about here is the performing part and then the voting part. Joining us from Glendale, California, one of the board members and senior class advisor and longtime athletic coach, football coach at Belmar Academy, is Vernon Dozier. I guess being around young people, Vernon, you become familiar with these shows, huh?
Well, you become very familiar with these programs, Phil. I remember when it was 21 Jump Street. You know,
boy, that's a flash from the past.
It is. 21 Jump Street was a big show, and young people were watching Back to the Future. And then in the 90s, all the hip hop and grunge that happened, and now we have young people enamored of this. And a couple of kids in my class that I have had to counsel, and I've talked to their parents too, because this is a pathway in life that a lot of young people now want to take.
When you say there's a pathway in life that a lot of young people want to take, they want to become professional performers, singers.
I think the American Idol phenomenon has influenced the young people to become they've wanted to become solo performers and singers. That's right. Now, this is not an area of expertise for me. I'm an athletic coach. I'm a science teacher. I'm a health teacher, and I do a little bit of history, but I'm certainly not an arts or theater teacher. But I've had to take over because it became a concern for myself, and I convinced some of the members of the board that it was a concern.
Well, so in other words, there is a theater teacher.
Yeah, we have a theater teacher who I think is very competent, Rosalie Santos, but I don't think she's advising these young people the right way. And that's why I took over and sat down each one of them.
How many are we talking about?
Well, during this past year, we had about a half a dozen young people that were serious about auditioning for this American Idol when it came through the Los Angeles area, and probably another half dozen kids who are in a theater program who are thinking of leaving school and joining either a musical band or theater or something like that, and a few other kids that wanted to just not enter college. We think it's pretty serious when you are considering deferring your education that way. So I had to sit them down, and they had concerns too, and so we talked about them.
Talking to Vernon Dozier here, our number 877-876-PHIL, about the influence of American Idol on young people. After 3 months of build-up to the grand finale of American Idol Season 10, the critics are saying that this evening was a little bit of a letdown. Lauren Elena, apparently had vocal problems. She overcame those, but was not particularly good, according to them. And then the young man, Scotty McCreary, was also kind of weak, but they're the two that are going to be going for this American Idol win tomorrow night when the voting takes place. The kids all watch this, and they all sort of in their own ways fantasize about it, don't they?
I think they do. I think that's the part that I think is perhaps it's bittersweet for me, because these young people are going to see this. They're going to think that we have a chance to become, you know, I'm going to be a star, you know, and yet you know that the sacrifices they have to make to do this go a little bit beyond what I think we should ask of our young people. And the morality is questionable.
What do you mean by questionable morality?
Well, I think when you look at these, particularly the young men, they exude a kind of, I don't think that they exude a masculine a presence. I think they exude more of an effeminate presence. And I don't know where that leads. I don't know what we're asking young people to do when we ask them to become, to go on the American Idol or to go on to these shows.
Well, when you say effeminate, are you talking about gay? Are you saying...
I don't know if I'm necessarily saying that. I'm saying that we're asking our young men, in order that they become singers, professional entertainers these days, we are effeminizing them. And some of the young guys have come to me and said, Mr. Dozier, I want to try out for American Idol next year, or I'd like to try out for musical theater this year in our senior class production. Every year our senior class puts on a major production, you know, West Side Story. They did one year, and I think they did Guys and Dolls another year.
All right. And so what are they asking?
Well, they're asking me things like, you know, am I going to be required to have a boyfriend? Do I have to...
You're kidding. All right, so they're asking, are these kids asking, do they have to go gay or something?
They're not asking that, but they're asking what... some of them may be afraid of that, and then, of course, it's the parents as well. So I think the American people are disquieted by this. And
you think that parents are worried about their kids trying out for American Idol?
I think they're worried about what it's going to, the toll it's going to take on the young men. If you're a mom, if you're a mother or father, and you want your young people to be successful, and you see a chance for them to become big stars in the entertainment field, okay, enough said. But are you going to be happy as a mother or a father? Are you going to be happy asking your young person to be successful in the entertainment field if it means they have to have a boyfriend? If it means they have to dress in a masculine way, but the hair, there's always something wrong, and that's what I said to the board last week.
I think what you've said a lot there. You're asking, let me ask you a question here. And by the way, this is the Phil Hendry Show, radio for Patriots by Patriots. You seem to think that the success in modern American entertainment by, it sounds like young men, necessitates feminizing them, and that parents are concerned by this.
As well they should be, I think, Phil.
As well they should be. What are they? Because I don't know that necessarily that's the case. I mean, we probably had a lot of conversation and controversy, and, you know, people talk around some of the people on American Idol, but I don't know that any of that is necessarily true.
Well, I mean, it may not. They had suspicions about the one, and he turned out, it turned out, yes, he was, and there was another one, or two or three, that everybody said that, you know, I'm pretty sure that's what he is. And it turned out, yes, it was. So the parents of the kids want to know. The kids themselves want to know.
Well, these are all straight kids.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's necessarily homosexual. But you have to feminize your son in order for him to have that kind of success. I said to the parents, and we had a meeting last week, and we're going to have a follow-up meeting. I said, as long as you don't mind changing your boy into the object of a homosexual's attraction,
Yep. Well, all right, I think that's going a little too far. You know,
why do you say that?
I think that's going a little too far. I think that's, in other words, what you're saying is, in order for a kid to be successful in entertainment, he has to effeminize himself or otherwise become attractive to homosexuals. He has to become something that he's not.
I'm saying that, and I'm saying the parents need to be aware of that, and I'm saying the kids are worried about that.
What kids are worried about this? When you say that a kid comes to you, and...
Well, we've had one. I've got one young man that I think I gave the number to your...
All right, we have the number of a Justin McElroy. We'll talk to him after the break, but I'm asking you, is this a big problem, or is this a small problem that you can contain, and what is the interest of the parents?
Well, I've got parents asking me. You know, I think that my son would like to become a professional entertainer. I think my daughter would like to become a professional entertainer. What's it going to take? And I'm saying to them, I think it's a great profession, but I think you're going to have to just throw a lot of what you think is normal away. I think you're going to have to be used to seeing a lot of men up front in the audience when your son is singing. I don't know what else to tell you, Phil. These are parents that are worried. I think you should be.
Well, all right, so what are we worried about here? You're talking about, let's get right down to this. What exactly are we worried about here? We're not talking about someone becoming a homosexual. We're talking about someone looking effeminate. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
All right, you started out by saying, well, they don't really look effeminate, but there's always something wrong. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, they've got on jeans, and they've got on a flannel shirt, and they've got on... But then, you know, their skin is, well, they look masculine, but then their skin, obviously they use some kind of a moisturizer. In other words, there's just something that...
Something that a heterosexual man wouldn't do.
Yes, sir, that's what I'm thinking. And look, Phil, the only reason why we requested airtime in your program tonight is to let people know that in order for your son to be a part of the American Idol experience or any of these professions, he's going to have to walk a road that you may find to be disquieting. Or if you have a grandson, you may have to...
But we're not talking about him altering his behavior. We're not talking about him becoming anything that he's not. We're just talking about him what?
Well, altering his behavior to the point where he has to at least walk and hang with certain people. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if you know, we can get him on the line.
Get this Justin McElroy on the line, and we'll talk with him. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. American Idol, is it effeminizing men? I don't see it. I see the artists that are on that show as being young guys. I don't know what the story is, but there seems to be a concern, at least with one of the teachers here and some of the parents and some of the kids at Belmar Academy and elsewhere, that in order for them to be in musical theater or go on American Idol or anything else, they got to change the way they are. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Next hour, we have Robert Greene to talk with us about, the Casey Anthony trial?
Yeah, he's going to do that.
All right, coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
That's what I worry about.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're on with Vernon Dozier. You got a problem, you say, at your school that you say is across the country, and that is kids that are acting effeminate.
In order to be on American Idol, yeah, in order to be on these shows. And I can tell you that the idea here, Phil, is for me, as the dean of discipline for the school, is for me to take charge. And that's why I called this meeting, and that's why I said to Janice Pauline, I said to her husband, Chris, that their son was beginning to evidence a sort of effeminate behavior that I needed to take in hand. And I said the same thing of the McElroy boy, and I said it to a lot of them.
So what are you doing?
I don't like the way you asked that question, Phil.
I'm sorry, but what are you telling me that you're going and you're taking these kids and what?
I am telling the parents that these kids need 5 days away from home and from the influence of the parents and to stabilize these kids. And that's why I'm telling the parents that what they need to do is turn the kid over to me and to a couple of our coaches and to stabilize the kid's behavior. Because
And how do you stabilize? Again, I don't know if the kid is not being sexually molested, if the kid is not engaging in any dangerous behavior, if he's not molesting other kids, you see what I'm saying? You're thinking about the fact that he's behaving a certain way.
He's behaving in a way that makes the kid nervous himself. You don't understand that, and it makes the parents nervous when they see their kid moosing his hair, moisturizing his skin, walking close to another guy, even though he may not be gay, it alerts them to some behavior.
And what are the kids saying?
The kids are saying they don't like doing it, but they feel they have to get on these shows. So I've said to the parents, stabilize these young people. And the way to stabilize them is to put them on a program that I can oversee. So we have our coaches, we have myself, we have other parents, and I can stabilize the behavior of these kids that are walking and moving and doing things in a way that is disturbing to me. I think it's disturbing a lot of the grandparents, too. The grandparents see it, the parents don't.
Give me an example, because I know I'm asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, you really are, Mr. Anderson. You better get your handle on this thing here.
You know what? I don't know. You haven't described to me any of this behavior, but we do have Justin McElroy on the line. Now, he's one of your seniors, right?
No, Justin's a junior.
All right. Have we got the line went dead?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me get them back up so we can. I thought we were going to. Okay. Verna, you there?
I'm right here, Phil. Yeah.
All right. Now, Justin, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Justin, have you talked to Coach Dozier?
Yes, sir. I went to him, like, late in last year when American Idol, season 9, and then I went this year, and I told him that I felt like I wanted to, go into performing.
And he asked me at that time if I could, Justin.
Yeah, go ahead.
He asked me at that time, did I feel the singers on American Idol, the male singers, looked like a couple of, I can use the language, can I?
Yes, sir.
They look like a bunch of queers. And
all right, we don't need to say that, okay, because that's not what you're talking about.
All right, but that's what Justin asked me, and I said to him that I don't think they are, but I think they do act that way.
And so I said to Coach Dozier, I was worried that do I have to be like them, or do I have to, male makeup and dress in the kind of clothes. And he said probably because a lot of the producers.
And I also, Phil, spoke with Justin's parents, Bill and Lucinda, who are friends of mine. And I said, I think that you've got a son here who's got a lot of talent, but if he goes in front of a lot of these producers in Hollywood, he's going to have to give a little bit of a, he's going to have to thin down. I think he's way too heavy. They like him.
Well, what do you mean they like them? See, again, you've got this sort of predatory, you got this attitude about these people that they're predatory,
Well, I think, Phil, anybody that wants to protect family values.
Well, here again we have a problem. When you say family values, I believe very much in family values, but I don't believe in the boogeyman. I don't believe in chasing after specters, spirits. I don't know what the problem is other than a behavioral problem. That is, the kid's presenting something weird.
Well, Mr. Henry, can I say something?
Go ahead.
I told Coach Dozier I didn't want to look like some fruit or not, I didn't want to look like a fag or.
All right, I don't want to hear that word.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to look gay. And he said the best thing to do then was to go through this readjustment program.
Yeah, I've got a readjustment program, Phil, that I put all these kids through, that I refocus them toward behaving like they don't, they're not comfortable around effeminate people, that's all.
All right, we're going to come back here with Vernon Dozier and Justin McElroy, one of his students, and we're talking here tonight about American Idol and whether it effeminizes men. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have Robert Greene coming up next hour, who will be talking with us about the Casey Anthony trial. Robert Greene is a CEO of Fraser Foods. They have their Family Safety Week coming up. We're going to talk about that public service and the series of public service announcements they're going to be doing. Right now we have Vernon Dozier with us from Belmar Academy. One of his students is Justin McElroy, and we're talking about the American Idol phenomenon. Tonight they had their performance finale, and what it will require of some young performers, especially Ben. And Justin, you say you're afraid that it will effeminize you, and that's why you went to Coach Dozier.
Yes, sir. Primarily that's why, and also to get some feelings or feedback on how I should deal with it, because my parents are pretty concerned that I guess if I go into American Idol and or if I want to audition or even if I just do theater, that I'm going to have to be with a guy, you know, sexually, even though I don't want to.
And that you're going to have to be sexually with a guy. Why? You're going to be forced into it.
And I feel, if I could jump in.
Go ahead.
I think they're afraid that it'll be expected. That when they walk into an audition or when they're seen in a restaurant or something like that, they'll have to be with another man. And I'm afraid of that.
And well, I'm here to tell you, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I'm here to tell you guys that sounds asinine, you know.
Well, I mean, do you have experience with that? Or?
I know, Mr. Henry, that you know, you might know about television, but you're not in theater and you're not a singer. So,
I'm just telling you, I don't have to be a singer or be in the theater to know that, no, you won't be expected to be with a guy.
Yeah, but the whole thing with American Idol is it's different. It's a different phenomenon, see, and that's what, you know.
I agree. It's a completely different, when you look at all the young men that are on this program, the fact that they are very thin, the fact that they kiss and hug with the girls in a way that is, I don't see any of them kissing or hugging the girls like they want to, you know, get with them. I see them hugging the girls like they're just other men. And
yeah, I noticed that too. So if it's something that is going to require just a little bit of that, I mean, I don't care, but if I have to socially engineer myself in a way...
You guys are seeing stuff that isn't there, in my opinion. And what do you mean socially engineer?
He's afraid.
I'll do it, Coach.
Hold on, let me have the phone. Please don't tell me what to do. You're the student. I'm the teacher.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about my life, if you don't mind. Socially engineering, boy.
What? Embarrass me.
Socially engineering.
Well, I'll talk to you, Justin. Okay.
Yeah. To socially engineer me means to have me probably behave more, I guess, have to behave more in a, what do you call a metrosexual kind of way. Sort of a young man who has a lot of girlfriends but doesn't like girls.
But you're not gay.
You're not going to act out gay, no. But just appear that way, so that he is, unapproachable and that kind of thing.
Let me ask you guys a question here. How much time do you have to spend thinking this stuff up?
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, it sounds like just a lot of concocted paranoid thinking. I don't know. You're telling me that this is across the country? Parents are thinking about this?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of young people think about it, so they probably talk about it to their parents, too.
Here, let me do this. Let me take over here, because this is about parents.
I'm taking over.
Just give the coach the phone, okay?
I'm taking over, talking about the parents. The thing that I wanted to say, Phil, more than anything else, was, no, I'm not paranoid. I've been a teacher now for 20 years. And
Well, which is it, 15 or 20?
It's 20 years, but there was a 15 years that I coached, and that's what I really enjoy. I love to coach. I'm not in musical theater at all. But when you say to a young person, listen, you have got it. You have got a great voice. But in order for you to make it on American Idol or any of these shows, you're going to have to be with a guy.
But not gay.
I don't know. I'll never use that word. No, but you've got to just look like it.
You got to look gay.
Well, yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
Don't lick the phone, all right?
Guys, let me direct. You give the phone back to the coach.
But, yeah, and so God, man, suck the phone, why don't you? You talking about whether you're gay or not. You got the whole phone in your mouth.
Well, hey, coach, let me direct the interview.
Sorry, I'm just trying to say that for the young person of today that wants to be on American Idol, that's what it looks like to me. So I've got to readjust their behavior back from this kind of limp way of going about it. That's all I'm trying to say. And I'm doing the best I can as a teacher. If it seems like it's unnecessary, if it seems silly, then blame the parents. Don't blame me.
Well, you initiated the beginning of this program, and you initiated the feeling and the thinking that this was something that concerned you.
Because a lot of parents were concerned, yeah.
And that you had young people coming to you and saying, hey, coach, if I'm going to be on American Idol, do I got to act like a fruit or something like that? And you have come to me to say now you need to readjust their behavior. Are they ever going to go on? What are you readjusting their behavior from?
I'm readjusting it back to normal after they've gone out and attempted to go on these. I don't know. That's what it feels like to me, that I have to readjust them back to just regular kids as opposed to this way, they use moisturizer. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know. It's like Ryan Seacrest himself. You wonder. You just wonder, you know.
That was my problem initially, Mr. Henry. I talked to my dad about it. I go, I don't know, Ryan Seacrest, I don't know, you know, I don't know, I don't know. And my dad would go, what is it? And I'm like, I don't know.
See, that was it. So you just go, what's throwing me about him? What's bedeviling me? Why am I not comfortable? Why am I lying awake at night thinking about Ryan Seacrest and what it is? You know, and
what do you mean what it is? You mean what he is?
Yeah, what he is. What is it that, about that man or even if you will, Simon Cowell, there's another one. They told me he got a girlfriend. Boy, you'd knock me over with a feather. I found out that guy's got a girlfriend. Because that bodybuilding physique of his.
I thought he was probably gay.
So that was my, give me the phone, will you please? Could you tell him that...
Justin, let the coach have the phone.
Call me that. So my thinking was, Phil, that I needed to calm these kids down and give them a place to go and something to think about. And that's what we've done. And hopefully...
Is the goal to get these kids? You notice I'm asking a lot of questions because I don't know how to feel about this, other than the fact that I think you're wasting your time. But is the goal to get these kids not on American Idol?
The goal is to get these. What do you mean? You don't know how you. What are you talking about?
I don't know what it is you guys are talking about. I think you're wasting your time worrying about whether or not kids are acting too effeminate to get on American Idol. So what is your goal?
My goal is so a kid walks down the street looking like a kid and not sashaying like he's on a runway.
Yeah, like, you know, we're on a runway.
Okay. And if that doesn't seem worthy to you, Mr. Henry, then I apologize. I sincerely do.
So in other words, being on American Idol means behavioral, physical behavioral changes where you look like you're just a young male model or something.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that with all of the things that we have to worry about in this world, Coach Dozier.
Well, are you going to give me a speech now? This is a speech. This is the part of your program when you say what a turd I am. And
no, I'm not going to use that word at all.
Well, this is the part of the show where you say that I've been spinning my wheels, wasting my time, and wasting everybody else's time.
You've been spinning your wheels, and you've been wasting your time, yeah. And you've been wasting everybody else's time, yeah. Because if we've got a morality problem in this country, it ain't with American Idol and guys that are, you know, having to wear too tight jeans. I don't know what it is. Nobody's demanding anything of those kids other than to be who they are. If they're talented, they certainly do have a shot at becoming something extra special in this world, but it has nothing to do with the, you know, altering their behavior to become effeminate. And I think that you owe an apology to parents and kids.
Kids owe me an apology? Oh, my God.
Oh, Mr. Henry, that's not really fair because we did come to Coach Dozier.
All right, well, then you ought to apologize to him for wasting his time.
I didn't know. What? You tell him I got to apologize. All these kids come to me and say, hey, Coach Dozier, do I have to walk around looking like I got one wedged? You know, if I'm going to be an American...
Looking like they got one wedged?
Yeah, if I'm going to be an American Idol. So I sit down, I try to help them. And you're telling me... He didn't really do it.
Both of you guys are really, really off, man. You know, find something valuable to worry about, not this junk. Thank you very much. Of all the screwball stuff, man...
In fact, that'd be pretty interesting.
Interesting. I'm going to have to readjust their behavior because, you know, who knows, man? They may be walking down the street like they're going down the runway at a fashion show to be on American Idol. All right, anyway, so that's Vernon Dozier and Justin McElroy there from Belmar Academy. By the way, the part two of American Idol is tomorrow night. Part one, that's the voting. Part one was tonight, which was the finale, and that was the singing, and apparently... nobody was concerned about how Scott McCreery was walking or whether or not he uses a moisturizer. Apparently, though, he didn't sing too good.
Yeah, that's the point, man. He sucked.
He didn't suck. That's just what people were, you know, there was some bad reviews. All right, so we'll find out tomorrow night. World famous Phil Henry Show here at number 877-876-PHIL. Bob Green coming up next hour on the Casey Anthony trial. And don't forget, PhilHenryShow.com.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, radio for patriots, by patriots, and like that. Now, our affiliate spotlight tonight, is that KZPT, Jason? I'm sorry, man, I can't. I apologize to our great, great friends in San Antonio, KRPT. I'll tell you why. I scribbled it down, and I can't read my own writing, and I ought to know better. Excuse me. WJFX in Roanoke, Virginia, also a great station on our affiliate list in our network. And on our website, philhenryshow.com, you can go to affiliates and find out where the radio station is near you. Now, if you're watching Phil TV in HD right now, you see that we have the weather map behind us. You see those red squares. And for those of you guys who are listening on air, there are two red squares that are right over top of Oklahoma and the state to the north of two states to the north of Oklahoma, Missouri, and I guess the next state over would be Kansas. And this is Oklahoma and Arkansas. And then down in Texas, looks like severe weather down in Texas. These are the areas where these terrible storms are currently bedeviling the country. We've had fatalities. It's a brutal, brutal year, man. And it's a brutal, brutal wave of storms that's hitting that part of the country. 11 people killed in Joplin, Missouri. And I know we're on the air in Joplin. And our best to you guys and anything that we can do for our affiliate in Joplin, the people in Joplin, a nursing home was hit by a tornado. It devastated the southwestern Missouri city. It turned the building into a pile of rubble, according to the operator of the home. The death toll from the tornado is 122. There's more than 750 people injured. And I understand there are people that died tonight.
I never seen a tornado.
Tornadoes are big, badass, ugly-ass-looking things, man. I don't think there's an uglier thing in nature than a tornado, a more frightening-looking thing in nature.
Yeah, it'll come bearing down on you, man. You got to get out of the way of that thing, too.
Well, you know, and then they have these guys that are storm chasers, and these cats are chasing these tornadoes, and I guess the goal is to figure out wind speed and how they move and the weather conditions. I read something. Do you remember the movie Twister?
Yeah.
Well, I read the article that inspired that film. And it was an article, if anybody remembers, it was an article in Details magazine back in the early 1990s about these storm-chasing guys from the University of Oklahoma, if memory serves. And they were with the meteorological department there at the University of Oklahoma. They were all studying to become meteorologists. And as part of the curriculum or their own part of their sort of their own vocational efforts or avocational efforts, they decided to start chasing these storms. And it wasn't anything new that they were doing. They were sort of picking up in the footsteps of others. But this article followed these guys. And the next thing you know, we had this movie Twister, which I think was kind of a cartoon, you know.
Yeah, that Twister, man, it made it look like it's all a bunch of fun and games, you know. And I got the cow flying by.
Well, in this article, it had these guys chasing down these tornadoes. But I'll tell you, of all the stuff that I remember reading in that article, there's only one thing. Of all of the stuff that I read in that article, I should say, there's only one thing that I remember. And it was a very, very distinct piece of information that, for some reason, stayed with me. But I think it might, if you hear this, it might stay with you. Now, we all have heard about tornadoes and the sound of tornadoes. And we've also heard that you can sometimes, oftentimes, escape a tornado by getting under a freeway overpass, for instance. I've heard people recording the noise of a tornado going right across a freeway overpass. And there's a lot of different things, but the thing that struck me the most about this article that I read, they're in the van, and they're chasing this Twister. And I mean, they're getting closer and closer and closer. And it's beginning to rain. And the wind is picking up, and it's also really, really wet. Now they're in the middle of a rainstorm. This is as you get closer to the actual funnel cloud. Now, I don't know a thing about these from the standpoint of science or the reality of what these men were describing. But, you know, I don't have any reason to believe that they're making it up. I might be I don't know. I might not be remembering it the right way. Anyway. It's raining really hard. It's raining, and the closer they get to the funnel cloud, the more it's raining, until suddenly they break through this wall of showers. They get, I don't know how close, but they get so close to the funnel cloud, the sun comes out.
Man, are you kidding me?
No, the sun, they said the closer you get to the funnel cloud, suddenly bright sunshine, and there it is, this big Twister. You know,
I mean, they're right next to it.
That's what they said. Right next to this thing, this big, ugly monster of a Twister cloud or wind cone. But right around it is sunlight. Now, that was weird, you know.
Man, I don't know, man. You don't believe these guys, man. I think they go out there drunk or something, smoking weed.
Smoking weed. You can't go out and do that stuff. I think that the article, and again, this was the article in Details magazine that eventually inspired the movie Twister, that it painted these guys as, yeah, kind of gonzo and whack, but very serious about what they do. And you know, to the extent that they're not insane, it takes a lot of guts. Sometimes people say that guts and crazy are the same thing. Maybe. But boy, that was the heaviest thing. I mean, when you look at a tornado, you're saying to yourself, that's just a whole lot of messed up, you know?
Yeah, well, you don't know what the thing is, man.
I mean, you look at a tornado, and you're going, I don't know what that is, But, man, that's like a lot of bad stuff all rolled into one. You know, a lot of wind, there's a lot of rain, it's going fast, it's just... And so the guys that want to study what those things are, you know...
What's a water spout? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, that's a tornado with a water.
I think it is. I don't know.
A water spout.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen a water spout. I bet you if I saw a water spout, that'd be it for me. I'd die of a heart attack. That's got to be the scariest thing you've ever seen in your life. A water spout.
That's like a water going up in the air.
Yes, it's like a tornado, only it's out over the ocean. I can't even imagine that. Nonetheless, that's what this article, that's what this thing was about. So it just, very weird, very weird. All right, we're going to be doing a little Casey Anthony talk here in the next hour. We have Robert Green from Fraser Foods is going to be joining us. A lot of really insane stuff came out in that trial today. Just weird. And we'll tell you all about it when we come back here. 877-876-7445 is our number. And, of course, our website is philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com. Pick up a backstage pass, live streaming video of our show right now. Phil TV and HD, as well as, of course, all of the thousands of hours of archives. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And you know we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot do that. We're radio for patriots, by patriots. Welcome to our second hour. With us is Robert Green this hour from Fraser Foods, CEO of Fraser Foods, and the chief, I would say, the chief spokesperson for their family... Safety Week, which is a public service that they are doing at all of their 25 stores. Bob's going to be with us here in just a moment. Want to remind you our website, philhendryshow.com. Go over and get a backstage pass, and you can watch live streaming video of the show right now, as well as our archives. And, of course, check out our affiliate list and take a look at all of the great affiliates that we have, including... KRPT in San Antonio, and I butchered their call letters last hour, and I apologize, guys, so I want to give you another shout-out, because San Antonio is like one of the great, great markets for us.
Yeah, they have them in the Mormons, too.
And the Mormons, huh?
Well.
And Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you got this, don't, anyway, just, you know, you've never even been to Utah, man. If I hadn't told you there's a lot of Mormons there, that wouldn't be the big Mormon thing for you. You know, you would have just said Utah.
Yeah, but that's Mormons.
Yeah, but if I hadn't said anything to you, in any event, thanks, folks. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What happened to the, here it is. I've got a pretty good little article here. I thought I did anyway. Geez, I hope it's still here. Oh, yeah, it's the Casey Anthony story. It's in People magazine. I didn't print it off, but Robert Green is going to join us here in just a second to talk about this opening day at the Casey Anthony trial. And, boy, was it a brutal, brutal day. And I know, Bob, that you're at the store a little late here this evening in Buena Park, and thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Phil. It's a pretty sad day, but...
Well, Family Safety Week is a annual public service campaign by Fraser Foods. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Phil. Family Safety Week is simply our way of reminding families to be aware of dangers to our children as well as to ourselves, whether it's coming from the world outside, and it's an increasingly dangerous world, Phil, or if it's coming from inside the family, because we have unresolved issues, and we need to sort of hang together and help each other. And Family Safety Week is simply our way of reminding mothers, fathers, as well as sisters and brothers and everyone that we need to educate ourselves, be aware of our actions and our behavior, as well as the actions and behavior of people around us. And excuse me, Phil, I'm getting over a little bit of a cold.
Well, you're doing fine. You sound good.
I'm grateful because a lot of people have been hit with this flu a lot worse than me.
No, you sound very good, Bob. When you're talking about being aware of people around us, you mentioned to me before the show started that this was the Casey Anthony trial was a textbook case of this.
It unfortunately is, and I feel for that entire family. I cannot believe what is happening in that trial in this very first day.
Let me just give people an idea, Bob. The most shocking claims that were made in the opening statements, and these primarily by the attorney for Casey Anthony, Mr. Baez, the most shocking claims by the lawyers focused on competing theories of how Kaylee died. Baez told the jury that Kaylee was never missing. On June 16th, 2008, she drowned in the family's swimming pool. It was a horrible tragedy, a common tragedy. Casey had always maintained that Kaylee was kidnapped by a babysitter. For the first time, defense attorney Jose Baez admitted that the story was untrue. Then comes accusation number two.
And this is the one, Phil, that I think is the most devastating because it can be avoided, obviously. And that is the, I know you were going to mention.
Well, it was, Baez said that Casey Anthony was sexually abused by her father. Minutes into his opening statement, Baez got the jury's attention by alleging abuse when Casey was 8 years old. Her father came into her room and began to touch her inappropriately. Sitting in the courtroom, Casey's father, George Anthony, sighed and closed his eyes. It's an allegation that George disputes. During his testimony, prosecutors asked whether he sexually abused his daughter. No, sir, I did not, he said loudly.
I can understand that is going to be his response. I don't know what happened, but part of our Family Safety Week, Phil, is the reminder to every father. And that's why this is a particularly difficult story to read, that no matter how beautiful your daughter is, no matter how attractive she becomes, no matter how early she may begin to mature, you can't allow yourself to do that. I don't know if George Anthony did that or not. But again, Fraser Foods reminds families, particularly fathers everywhere, that no matter how, if you want to put it this way, hot or what have you, your daughter becomes, and I've seen Casey Anthony, we all have. And if she were my daughter, and I had a very beautiful daughter, and still do, and I can tell you that as a father, as my daughter matured, you could tell that she was going to be beautiful. And I kept telling myself over and over, don't do it because...
Don't do it? Don't do it.
Yes, don't do it. In other words, what I'm saying, and I didn't do it, and what I'm saying is you tell yourself that because this is what's going to happen. Years later, she's going to sit in a courtroom somewhere, and she's going to say, my father sexually abused me, and that's why I'm a mass murderer. My father sexually abused me, and that's why I stole money. You see what I'm saying? So I say to all the men listening to your program tonight, Phil, no matter how lovely your daughter is and, being in the store every day and doing the kind of work that I do, Phil, I've seen, if you will, I've seen some of their daughters, America's daughters, and they are beautiful.
I want to interrupt you here because I'm a little uncomfortable with the way this is rolling out.
In what way?
In the way that you just said. You said, don't do it. Did you have to remind yourself?
I'm saying, Phil, so that we don't get too high and mighty here, no, I never did that to my daughter.
No, I understand that, but
And I'm saying, if you'll let me, you don't ever want to sexually abuse your daughter. That's what I'm saying.
Of course you don't. But the things that you said about how you reminded yourself...
I said that... If you've got a daughter, look, if your daughter is beautiful, and she's really beautiful, you're naturally, you're, you know, your mind is going to get into the sewer at least once. And I don't think...
No, it is not going to necessarily go into the sewer. Not necessarily.
Well, all right. That's fine. Did you have a daughter?
As a matter of fact, I had a stepdaughter, which probably makes me even more of a, in the minds of some people, more of a risk. But that never, ever, ever entered my mind. And I'll tell you something else. In the world that we live in today, with people looking for that kind of thing, a man has no business at all behaving any way other than absolutely above board with his daughter or stepdaughter or any young female in his charge. And that means when you hug her above the waist, and when you kiss, it's on the cheek, and you love as a father and as a friend, and that's it.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Phil. You're giving a big, long description here, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you're saying something that is disturbing a little bit. You're saying...
What do you mean? I want to get back to our Family Safety Week, and I want to... I agree with everything you're saying. I think you're taking this into a place that no one wants it to go.
All I'm saying is, didn't you say to me, no matter how hot... You said hot.
Yes, I did.
All right, no matter how hot your daughter gets, don't do it.
I'm saying, in other words, if you'll allow me to restate...
Okay.
Your daughter is going to get older, and she's going to become beautiful, and good for her, and congratulations. And you're going to see that, and if, and I agree with you, Phil, if you are the kind of animal whose mind sinks into the gutter like that, I would advise you to, no matter how... You don't like the word hot. I don't know what word I'm supposed to use.
I don't think you should even be going down this road. You know...
No matter how attractive she is, well, I'm going down this road because I think it's pretty obvious. Don't do that, even though she is, you know, good-looking. And I think what Mr. Henry here is doing is he's attempting to make me sound like I'm... a child molester. And
no, sir, I'm not.
I never touched my daughter at all, unlike this guy, Anthony. The reason why I'm saying this...
You don't know that George Anthony did this. This is the other thing that's bothering me about this. George Anthony has been accused of this by this woman.
Well, I mean, this is the whole point that I'm... The reason why I'm saying this. You've seen Casey Anthony, right?
Yes.
Is she attractive?
I'm not going to make a comment on that.
Well, I don't think that's very fair. I think what you've done now is you've got me out hanging in the breeze...
I'm not going to make a comment on how attractive she is.
Well, I will, in the name of every man listening. Yes, she's attractive. And so if you're her father, you face a decision.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Well, Mr. Henry, are you going to debate me now?
I'm saying that, no, you don't face a decision. And if you think that you do face a decision, in my opinion... There's something wrong with a man who feels he has a decision to make.
I totally agree. I'm saying, don't do it. That way you don't have to make the decision. Even if she looks the way, and this, you don't want to say it, but she is very, she's good looking. And you're living in the house with that every day.
Wow, man.
Oh, don't give me that.
No, that's just, I mean, it's just... Robert Greene with us here. It's Family Safety Week on at Fraser Foods as we talk about the Casey Anthony trial. And Casey Anthony's attorney today made the allegation that Casey Anthony was sexually abused by her father when she was 8 years old. George Anthony patently denied that. Robert Greene on our program saying that no matter how, quote, hot your daughter is, end quote, don't even think about it. Not a good idea. Even though a lot of you guys out there have really attractive daughters, don't do it. And I said to him, I don't even think that a healthy man has to make a decision like that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is this some kind of a natural hazard of being a father? Is this just a business as usual, raising a daughter? Well, she grows up, she gets hot, you know, you got a decision to make. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Robert Greene in a moment.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
From Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, Robert Green joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're talking about the Casey Anthony trial, the opening statements today, the opening arguments, if you will, today. And the opening argument by the defense was as they say in the business, a bombshell. Among the accusations by Casey Anthony's attorney, Jose Baez, that this baby, Kaylee Anthony, drowned in the family swimming pool with the knowledge of George Anthony and also the knowledge of this meter reader, this man who called in this, and that this guy got some sort of a reward. They were all in the cover-up. And then the other thing that was that we're talking about right now is the fact that the Baez claims Casey Anthony was molested, sexually assaulted or molested as an 8-year-old child by George Anthony. George Anthony on the stand denied this. And, Bob, you are on this program as if George Anthony did do this, saying no matter how beautiful your daughter is, you know, I you're saying don't do it.
Yeah, well, and you are misrepresenting what I'm saying, Phil. I
don't think so. I mean, did you not say that if you've got a really hot daughter?
I didn't. If I use the word hot, I apologize, but I was trying to obviously relate this to your audience. Every father goes through this. If he doesn't, he's either lying or he's got an ugly daughter, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I see men coming through the store all the time with their daughters, and you do too, and you think, boy, you know, better you than me, pal.
Better? I don't think that way. Am I a liar?
You had a stepdaughter, Phil. It might be different. Maybe the fear that goes through stepfathers, boy, if I make one, well, excuse the pun, but if I make one full step, people are going to think I'm a pervert. But for a father, the blood father of a daughter, you got to step back, be cool. It ain't worth it. Don't do it, man. And if you've got, excuse my language, you've got a piece of ass for a daughter. And
I don't appreciate that language, and I don't appreciate you whispering it as if we're conspiratorial here. And I don't appreciate the opinion that every man goes through it.
Well, look, George Anthony was accused of this. It's very serious. And
this Casey Anthony is a lying psychopath, in my opinion. And,
well, you don't know that, Phil, okay?
Look, if this girl did what they accuse her of doing, it wouldn't surprise me at all that she'd throw everybody under the bus, including, at some point, her lawyer. She'll do the same thing to Baez. She'll fire him or otherwise accuse him of something. She'll do anything she can as an antisocial psychopath to save her own ass. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, well, and you say save her own ass. And so I will believe that you've taken a look at that ass, to coin a phrase, and you gotta, are you kidding me? So as a father, you gotta say, no, 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 I won't do it.
As a father, you gotta say, 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call here. We have Kevin in Louisville, Kentucky. Kevin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bob Green.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to that guy you're talking to, I don't remember what his name was, but you know, we're not sure about Mr. Anthony and you know, his allegations against him, but this guy you're talking to there, he sure sounds like he needs to be investigated.
Better, you got to turn that phone up. Turn the call up, please, and don't turn it down again. Go ahead. Say it again, Kevin. Somebody adjusted the volume of your call.
Yeah, I was talking about that guy that you're talking to now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about Mr. Anthony. I know what he's been accused of, but I haven't heard any facts or anything, you know. But this guy that you're talking about, he's got to make a decision when, you know, your daughter's hot or whatnot. You know,
Have you got a daughter?
I have two daughters.
Right.
I have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, and I've never had to make a decision, you know.
They're 11 and 9, but at some point, if they're, I don't know, I mean, they might be, you know, big and
big and ugly. And I don't mean that in terms of them being as people. They're probably great people. But if they're hot and...
But everything with you is hot or big and ugly.
No, not everything with me.
That's how you're describing this man's daughter.
I'm saying what kind of a decision are you going to make? You know,
oh, yeah.
That's what
if it's a decision he has to make, then he needs to stay away from him.
Exactly. If you think that this is a...
wait a minute. I just want to be clear, because I had a daughter that I raised, and I never laid a hand on her.
Yeah, and all through that time, that kid didn't know how close she came. You're thinking, wow.
Well, what am I supposed to think? What are you going to do? Let me ask you something. Have you, this may be pointless talking to this guy. Have you watched this trial, sir? Have you seen this Casey Anthony? Have you seen her?
877-876-PHIL. Fred in Abilene, Texas. Go ahead.
Phil, the gentleman that you have on right now, I mean, it makes me vomit. It makes me want to throw up. It's sick. I have five daughters. And they're beautiful daughters, but I have never, ever looked at them other than admiration
the second guy
and love.
This week to have five daughters. There's been
you
two guys calling
sick.
The Phil Henry Show this week, and they both
there's
of them
no
have
decision.
Five daughters.
There's no decision there unless you're sick in the
all
mind.
Right, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And we're going to take a break, and I, again, we'll apologize for the tech.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're here with Bob Green from Fraser Foods. We're talking to Bob about not only Family Safety Week for Fraser Foods, which is a part of their public service week, but also the Casey Anthony trial. Casey Anthony... has this week, through her attorney, accused her father of sexually molesting her, has accused her father and mother of helping cover up the death of the baby. The child drowned in a swimming pool, and there was a meter reader, this guy that found the body, who's also somebody they're dragging in. So young Miss Anthony, being the antisocial type that she is, she doesn't care who she hurts, she doesn't care who she lies about, she doesn't care how she pulls people down. That's what she's going to do.
Well, Phil, I think you're making a lot of assumptions there. It could very well be true that George Anthony did do this. And I think that's something we can do something about as men. If you are raising daughters, and I heard the man who claimed to have five daughters, it's interesting when people claim to have daughters, it's always five. He probably didn't have five daughters. He probably had one daughter and four sons. But be that as it may...
Why wouldn't you believe that he has five daughters?
I just think it's interesting. Every time a guy claims to have daughters that he doesn't really have, there's always five. Almost like it's out of a movie or something. Be that as it may, I will say this, that the solution of the problem is very, very, is readily evident. The solution of the problem is that if you've got a daughter that's beginning to, mature, and she's getting bigger and she's getting beautiful, that you have to remind yourself that it's not worth it 30 years down the road when she accuses you of molesting her, and it'll be true. And
it's not worth it. What makes you think a guy that molests children, that that kind of thinking is going to affect him at all?
You're asking me a question. I don't have the answer to that, Phil. You're talking about a guy that molests children. I'm talking about a father looking at a daughter that's getting a big, that is getting a big chest, or however you want to put it. And
yeah, you sound as if you're on a playground someplace watching the girls getting bigger as the years go by. You're not sounding like a father. You know,
Phil, I told you that I had a daughter, and I watched my daughter grow to a beautiful womanhood, and I never once laid a hand on her. I was there for her through her graduation. I was there for her at her wedding. I gave her away to her groom, and we have a wonderful relationship today. And
how do you think your daughter would think if she heard you talking like this?
She'd probably think that there's my dad, you know, being practical. And
there's my dad being practical. So I watched my daughter getting older and getting bigger, or however you want to put it, you know.
No, I didn't say that. I my daughter, as it turns out, she didn't have, but she had, she was lovely, and but she wasn't, not that way. In other ways, yeah. And so you look and you say, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it.
Any guy that's got to sit there and say that has got a problem.
What?
I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. What is that, man? That sounds to me like someone with some sort of an obsessive or compulsive nature that really needs a doctor.
A doctor? I didn't need a doctor. Did I need a doctor? No.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know. That just sounds very, very disturbing to me, Bob. You know?
Well, this is Family Safety Week, and we are trying to let everyone know of all the alternatives.
877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Here is Tim in Indianapolis. Tim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil. It's Bob Green you got with you here. I agree with the last two callers and yourself. There's something wrong with what he said. I think you just don't even have those kind of thoughts. You don't have those kind of thoughts. And if you do, buddy, you need to get some help. And you're a poor representative for Fraser Food for Family Safety Week.
Well,
I wouldn't have any of my family.
I don't even think you have
around daughters. Why? Is because
if
you're looking at your daughter like that, you're looking at the kid down the street that way. The kid is the playground, and that is unsafe. That is
no
problem.
And you don't even have daughters, so I don't know how you could weigh in on this. I'm talking about having daughters.
I've got family members there. Do you look at your nieces and nephews that way,
yeah,
too? I mean, they're not that close. I mean, anybody looking at me, sir, there's something seriously wrong with your set of thinking.
Are you
and
looking
yes,
at your nieces that way?
Yes, I can understand why you think George Anthony could possibly done that if you think that's a normal way of thinking, because it's not. I mean, there's something clear on it.
Let me explain something to you. I never molested my daughter, all right?
Which I didn't
know,
but
that's
did you
true
have
about
that
you?
Thought cross your mind? Did you even have that
so now it's the thought police.
Dude,
now it's the thought police. So it's now the thought police. Now it's 1984.
You had that thought cross your mind and tell yourself, don't do it. You know, you haven't had that about your niece, your nephew, or the kid down the street. I mean, damn, he's scary,
dude. There was a book out called 1984 about the thought police. That's what this guy wants to do now. He wants to police your thoughts.
You're the poor representative for Fraser Food.
All right. Thanks very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. And again, I apologize. The phones on this radio program, really, for 4 years have never worked.
Here, you're fine, Phil.
That's fine, but you and I will get back. So our number, 877-876-7445, talking to Robert Green here from Fraser Foods about the Casey Anthony trial. The other thing that she said was that this child drowned.
Yeah, I heard that as well, and this is part of our Family Safety Week, that if you have an infant, you have to be careful not to let that kid anywhere near water, especially a small infant, without a safety door, and you need to have fencing. Now,
all right, but we don't even know if that happened.
Well, what do you mean we don't know if it happened?
This is the same woman, this Casey Anthony, who said that the kid drowned, her father molested her, and the meter reader is responsible for somehow covering this up. What happens during Family Safety Week, Bob, if one of the family members is a psychopathic liar? A pathological liar. What then?
I am not qualified to speak about pathological liars. I'm only qualified to talk about not molesting your daughter and not letting an infant near a pool and not to ever, ever enter into any kind of a contract with an individual to cover up a murder. These are not the acts. Now, I can tell you what's right and what's wrong, Phil. I can't help you with some of these fantasies that you're having. And
I'm not having any fantasy. You're the guy that's having the fantasy. You're the guy that's saying, when my daughter gets old enough and starts looking hot, don't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. You know,
I'm talking the way a guy ought to talk. All right? What's wrong with what I'm just saying?
I agree with that man. If you have to think those things, now we move on to the next thing. Make sure that you don't let your kid drown in a pool. Well, that's smart, obviously.
Yeah, but look at how many kids. Look, it might have happened to this kid.
I can got news for you. It didn't happen to this kid. And then what was the other one?
The other one was don't enter into a contract with a third party to cover up a murder. Obviously, that's stupid.
And don't enter into a contract with a third party to cover up a murder.
That's correct, yeah.
Like maybe what happened here.
Yeah.
Now, I'll ask you this question. How do you know any one of these three things actually took place if this young lady is lying?
Oh, come on. Phil, we know that fathers molest daughters, and we know kids drown in swimming pools, and we know that meter readers, guys that are reading these meters for a living, this is not a business that's going to make you a lot of money. It's very possible a lot of those people are just out of prison, I don't know, and would very easily enter into some kind of a money-making contract.
So what we've done here is we have vilified an entire profession of men and women.
But people that read meters, that's a profession?
An entire profession of people, and we will accept that this baby drowned, and we'll accept that George Anthony molested his daughter because it's easy and because that happens all the time.
I think so. I'm not saying that that's why. I'm simply saying that these are the three lessons we're learning.
877-876-7445. Here is Michael in Tucson. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a guy, Bob, whatever his name is. You know, you did not imply that he molested his daughters or stepdaughter. I happen to have a stepdaughter and a daughter of my own. And he is automatically...
She said in the trial that the guy molested her. She said it in the trial.
Sir, Phil did not insinuate that you were molesting or even were thinking of molesting your daughter, but what you're digging yourself a hole by saying that if your daughter is hot and once she gets to a certain age and she starts to look hot, I think what you're trying to say is that if you have those thoughts, that... You know what? It's not worth 30-some years going to jail for having those thoughts and thinking about molesting your daughter. Don't do it. But like everyone else is saying to you, sir, if you would stop self-incriminating yourself, Tracy Wheat with Fraser Foods, is that if you had those kind of thoughts, then yeah, you do need to get some help. But not everyone is assuming that you are molesting your family. You have taken that out of context. And I respect what the talk show host Phil is trying to say, but you keep digging it
hole
for yourself.
What did I say? I said when my daughter was getting older, and I don't know if you have daughters, when my daughter was getting older and my daughter started to look good, I would remind myself, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And, you know.
Well, yes, you had to say that because that was a stepdaughter. I respect you for what you're trying to say because that's not your biological daughter, but whether it's your biological daughter or your stepdaughter, it doesn't matter. You know, yes, you're being honest and saying men...
No, that is his biological daughter. No, you're
women.
That is his biological daughter.
Don't dig yourself into a hole by you know, taking offense at what the talk show host has said to you. You know, get some help about it, my friend.
Michael, that is his biological daughter.
This guy has, George Anthony, I do believe he has molested his daughter. And evidence points to that direction. But you're not helping the cause, sir.
Michael, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you hear me? The evidence doesn't point in that direction, and I don't know where you're getting that. That's
well, this guy's, I think he's agreeing with me.
Yeah, well, both of you guys are stupid then. How about that?
Oh, that's great, Phil. That's a nice way to blow us off because we don't agree with you. And
well, the thing I was going to tell Michael is that is your daughter. That's not your stepdaughter. So he wasn't listening to that. And I don't know where you guys get this idea that George Anthony molested his daughter. The fact is that this kid, this Casey Anthony, is a pathological liar. You'd have to be. You'd have to be a psychopath to murder an infant and then go off and party. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Without music? Without music? Could I hear some music, please? You ever seen anything like this before in your life? I haven't. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you. You can turn your music. Well, I apologize for the hour that we just heard here. I was not able to hear the callers. They were too loud in some instances, so they couldn't hear me. And we had to let Bob Green go. And that's where that's at, guys. I had a radio show that was planned tonight, and certainly those parts of the radio show that I can control, I will control. The parts that I cannot control, I can't control. And technically, we have had challenges here that, quite frankly, we've had technical challenges on this radio. President Barack Obama will outline in a speech how much the world has changed since the U.S.-British partnership emerged victorious from World War II. But also argue that the relationship remains the cornerstone of global security. See, there's a guy, his life is going pretty good compared to mine right now. The theme outlined by administration officials here Tuesday is part celebration of the military partnership, which has waged war in three Muslim nations over the past decade, and part reassurance that the heavy cost has been essential. Obama will deliver the address, characterized by advisors as the anchor speech of his six-day European trip to the British Parliament at Westminster Hall. American Idol had its sing-off tonight. And the Casey Anthony trial. Here were the bombshells, so to speak, that we were attempting to exploit for you in this past hour. For nearly 3 years, the death of 2-year-old Kaylee Anthony remained a mystery. But the first day of the murder trial of her mother, Casey, brought a series of surprises that left the Orlando courtroom in stunned silence. The most shocking claims by lawyers during their opening statements focused on competing theories of how Kaylee died and who really knew what happened. Kaylee drowned in a swimming pool, says the defense. Casey had always maintained that Kaylee was kidnapped by a babysitter named Zenaida Gonzalez. For the first time, defense attorney Jose Baez admitted the story was untrue. So, here's a woman that lied about how this child died. Here's a woman that is now telling us her parents knew. Florida's got this thing called the Sunshine Law. And the Sunshine Law, you guys probably have seen it. That means that you can see all the phone conversations that go on. And you can hear all the things that are said by the people in the case. And so for her to sell this thing after people have seen hours and hours of her mom standing there and saying, "Now, Casey, can you tell us where she is? Casey, if you could just help us. Casey," that's one hell of an acting job that her mom's doing. One holy hell of an acting job her mother's doing, and of course, a pretty good acting job that her father's doing. Anybody that believes that George Anthony molested this girl, I mean, you know, maybe he did, but I'll tell you this much. This woman, this Casey Anthony, is a, she's the type of liar that to whom lies come very natural because it's all about protecting herself. Anyway, I'm probably not telling anything you don't know, but Baez stands there and says Kaylee never went missing. So what he's basically telling all of us now is all of those months of the grandmother and the grandfather wanting to know where this baby was, wearing those T-shirts, have you seen this child, where is she? They knew all along. They knew all along that she drowned in the family swimming pool. It was a horrible tragedy. It was a common tragedy, according to this guy, Baez. They go on to say that George Anthony came into her bedroom and molested her when she was 8 years old. Prosecutor Linda Drain Burdick discussed the duct tape that was found over the nose and the mouth of Kaylee's skull. The tape was put over the hair, Burdick said. Casey never intended to take it off because the tape went over the hair. Burdick repeatedly referred to the tape as the murder weapon. At the end of this case, you'll have no trouble concluding Kaylee Anthony was murdered by her mother. The meter reader hid Kaylee's body, according to the defense. This is a beautiful statement here. This is the poor slob that found this child's remains. Guess what, Charlie? You are now part of the murder trial. Roy Kronk, the meter reader who found Kaylee's body, has long maintained that he stumbled across the remains while relieving himself in the bushes. Not so, claims Casey's attorney. He put her remains there, said Baez. This was his lottery ticket. There was a reward for Kaylee's return. How did Kronk get Kaylee's remains? We may never know, says Baez. Kaylee's grandparents knew she was dead all along, the defense says. Baez told the fascinated jury that George Anthony was home when Kaylee died and that he angrily confronted Casey about her negligence. He got in her face. He was screaming. But what he did do is he helped this woman get rid of the body. And I think the grandmother, Cindy Anthony, I think she got in on the act, too. So this is what they're going to do. This is what they've concocted. Now, I don't know, man, whether a defense attorney has to be stupid, too. I don't know whether this guy Baez believes this or not. I do know that what they try to do is have a case that they can take into trial and to a jury where there's a reasonable doubt. But, I mean, if you're making stuff up, or does it constitute that you're making stuff up when your client tells you this stuff, you know?
I don't know. It sounded to me like you made it up.
Yeah, well. So, that's it. That's the opening day of the Casey Anthony murder trial with the five top bombshells, and we'll keep talking about it here on the Phil Hendry Show. Again, my apologies for these technical problems. We'll try to work them out the best way that we know how and get our radio show back up. And I apologize profusely for that, folks. It throws the show off. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And if truth wasn't our bitch, I wouldn't be laying it on you tonight. Man, we have had... I don't think I'm going to answer any email tonight. I don't think I'm going to go on the comment section of that on our website because I know what it's going to be. It's going to be just it already. I get it already, guys, okay? What do you want from me, man? You know, I'm the guy that sits down here and I am the, I'm the funny guy. You know, increasingly, though, it's harder and harder and harder to be funny. All I want to do, man, is come in here, do my show, and split, you know, and, like, maybe enjoy my life. I don't want to have to come in here. God! Here's an article here. I don't know if these guys heard me talking or if they've got the Casey Anthony trial in mind, but it's an article in The Guardian. And it's called How to Spot a Psychopath. How to spot a psychopath. A psychopath is somebody without a conscience. A psychopath is someone who has no real concern for the feelings or the well-being of other people. They only see people as objects to be manipulated and used. A psychopath, in other words, sees other human beings the way you and I see animals in many ways. We use animals. Actually, we have affection for animals, so I shouldn't say that. But let's suppose, I heard a very good description once of a psychopath. A sadistic psychopath, somebody that kills. They kill with the ease that you and I carve a turkey.
Man.
Yeah, like, just they don't care at all.
No, I mean, in fact, you and I carve a turkey, we may actually be enjoying ourselves. That's how a psychopath, a sadistic psychopath, which is, you know, not all psychopaths are sadistic to the point of murdering, but that's how they go about the business of killing. I mean, that's the emotion they have. So here is an article by a guy named John Ronson. It's in The Guardian. He says, it was visiting hour at Broadmoor Psychiatric Hospital, and patients began drifting in to sit with their loved ones at tables and chairs that had been fixed to the ground. They were mostly overweight, wearing loose, comfortable T-shirts. I wondered if any of them were famous. Broadmoor was where they sent Ian Brady. Ian Brady was a very famous serial murderer in the 60s, or Peter Sutcliffe, who was also a famous serial murderer called the Yorkshire Ripper. A man in his late 20s walked toward me. His arm was outstretched. He wasn't wearing sweatpants. He was wearing a pinstripe jacket and trousers. He looked like a young businessman trying to make his way in the world. And he said, "Hi, I'm Tony. So I hear you faked your way in here," I said. He said, "That's exactly right." He had the voice of a normal, nice, eager-to-help young man. I'd committed GBH, he said. After they arrested me, I sat in my cell and I thought, I'm looking at 5 to 7 years, so I asked the other prisoners what to do. They said, easy, tell them you're crazy. I don't know what GBH is, you know, it's probably homicide of some kind. So this is a guy who faked his way into a nut house. And how did he do that? He's a psychopath. He can lie. And that's the thing about a psychopath more than anything else. They can stare you right in the face and lie, and you swear to God they're telling the truth. If you're lied to by a psychopath and you buy into that person's bullcrap, let's say, you're in trouble. I mean, you're the kind of person that they probably target. And if you were a female and you were dealing with like a sadistic psychopath, you'd probably be in, you know, the trunk of his car tied up by now. But here's a guy that was able to fake his way into a nut house because he didn't want to be in prison. He said faking being crazy was the easy part, especially when you're 17 and you take drugs and you watch a lot of scary movies. You don't need to know how authentically crazy people behave. You just plagiarize the character Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet.
Ha ha! You kidding me, man? I've seen that movie like 6 times.
There you go. And probably Dennis Hopper spent his time learning his part by looking at actual crazy people. Anyway, that's what Tony did. He told a visiting psychiatrist he liked sending people love letters straight from his heart, and a love letter was a bullet from a gun, and if you received a love letter from him, you'd go straight to hell. Plagiarizing a well-known movie was a gamble, he said, but it paid off. Lots more psychiatrists began visiting his cell. He broadened his repertoire. He included bits from Hellraiser, Clockwork Orange, and Crash. In other words, this guy was such an effective liar and bullcrap artist that he's got all of these psychiatrists coming in and trying to figure him out. He's just full of crap. They say the worst place to send a psychopath is to a therapist because they just learn how to be better psychopaths. And they'll tell you, oh, yeah, I went to the psychiatrist. I really learned how to weave a yarn of horse dung by just sitting and talking to this poor befuddled shrink. So he also read a biography of Ted Bundy, this kid Tony. He said the day he arrived at the dangerous and severe personality disorder unit of this psychiatric hospital, he took one look at the place and realized he'd made a spectacularly bad decision. He asked to speak urgently to the psychiatrist. He said, I'm not mentally ill. It's an awful lot harder, Tony told me, to convince people you're sane.
Hey, wait a minute, so he didn't want to be in there anymore.
No, he got to this unit, and he realized that there were a lot of really severe, it was called severe personality disorder unit. He realized maybe there's some guys in there that are murderers. He realized he didn't want to be there, so he tried to tell them that he wasn't mentally ill, and they didn't believe him.
Man, that's a, If this guy's such a psychopath, it's hard for him to tell the truth.
Right. Like the ultimate boy who cried wolf, you know. You know, that's the story we all learned when we were kids. You know, never cry wolf. Never say something happened over and over and over again, because when it finally does happen, no one's going to be around to save you. Well, psychopaths are, you know, maybe that was just a story about a psychopathic kid, because they're so used to telling a lie that it becomes a very comfortable lie, you know, and it becomes a very comfortable reality for them. I don't think it's a reality. I think they know they're lying. But when something actually goes wrong, I mean, it actually does occur that, you know, something rocks their world. They say that psychopaths are the worst at preparing for things going wrong. That's why, you know, a lot of them get caught. A lot of them go to jail. The reporter said, when you decided to wear pinstripes, did you realize the look could go either way? Like you were either really crazy or, really, you know, really sane. He says, yes, but I thought I'd take my chances. Plus, most of the patients here are disgusting slobs. I know people are looking out for nonverbal clues to my mental state. Psychiatrists love nonverbal clues. They love to analyze body movements, but that's really hard for the person who's trying to act sane. How do you sit in a sane way? How do you cross your legs in a sane way? So this guy is this guy is telling a reporter that he's actually sane and he wants out, and they won't let him out. This is a psychopath who lied his way out of prison. He lied his way out of a prison cell and got himself into a nut house, but he got himself put into the worst possible place in the nut house.
Yeah, like where all the killers are.
Yeah, and so he wanted to get out of there, but too late now, man. You lied your way in there, and there's no way you can tell the truth. Oh, man. Anyway, the article is called How to Spot a Psychopath, and it's written by this guy, John Ronson of The Guardian. So, you know, you talk about this kid, Casey Anthony, this young woman who lied about the child, lied about the babysitter, lied about a lot of stuff, and had a lot of people. And now she sits down with this attorney, Baez, and says, I'll tell you what really happened. My father's involved. My mother's involved. The meter reader is involved. And this guy, Baez, you got to ask yourself, does he believe this? Because I think you have to be stupid to believe it. Or maybe not, but that's just my unprofessional opinion, my non-professional opinion. I think you've got to be stupid to believe this. So I don't think he does. I think he came up with a plausible defense. It's all horse dung. And for this guy to pitch this stuff means that he knows he's selling a load and that she's probably guilty. Which answers another question I got.
What?
If you're a defense attorney, do you got to believe in the innocence of your client? And I think this question's been asked many times, and I think a lot of defense attorneys, when they're asked that question, they always say, oh, of course I do. Yes, I do. I mean, you really do. Yes, of course, yes. Well, horse manure. You know, not this guy. You can't possibly believe that stuff, man. So that's Baez, and that's the Casey Anthony trial. I keep wanting to call him Joan Baez, and I will not do that. Oprah Winfrey.
Who's Joan Baez?
Joan Baez was a folk singer. Oprah Winfrey ends her show tomorrow, and we're going to talk about that here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More on that Casey Anthony thing. And Hines Ward, the great wide receiver of the Pittsburgh Steelers, also is a champion in another way, Dancing with the Stars. He won that. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Some nights, though, I got to be honest, there's probably some nights where talk shows, I don't want to go where he's going tonight, you know.
Yeah, probably not.
We don't want to go where Phil's going. But be that as it may. So, here is another interesting little tidbit for you, because, you know, this Casey Anthony kid, you know, so what is up with her? Is she telling the truth? Is she just, can she look you straight in the face and say, this is it, and this is that, and this is it? And I'm just giving you an opinion. I don't know, man. I'm not a doctor, but I think so. You know, haven't we had enough experience with people that are just flat psychopathic liar? I mean, they look right at you. No, I did not do it. Did you kill your wife? No, I can assure you I didn't. No way. How about that guy? What's his name?
Scott Peterson.
Scott Peterson. Remember him? No, I never did it. Well, he sure as hell did. You know he did. So what is that? That's a psychopath. Now, I think that this Anthony is one. And I think she'll lie, cheat, steal. She'll say anything, do anything, be anything. And mark my words, too. She's going to throw that lawyer under the bus sooner or later.
Well, how's she going to do that?
I think she's going to come out to the press and say that this guy Baez is a liar. I'll bet you anything she says that Baez tried to make a move on her. What do you think?
No, man. He's the only guy to stand between her and the Almighty. You don't.
No, are you kidding me? Lawyers are a dime a dozen. Excuse me for saying that, guys, but probably the guys that want to take that. I guarantee you, as this thing gets worse, she's going to turn on that Baez. She's going to say that I want a new attorney. She's going to want a new attorney. And she may even say that Baez was inappropriate with her, you know.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, I bet you anything. If it works by talking about her old man, you know, George Anthony, why not? Go ahead and play that card, man. Play that hand as far as you can. And Baez will say she's a liar, and it won't make any difference because she's the woman and he's the guy, and everyone she'll, you know, by that point, she'll have everybody so split in half. She'll have her supporters, and there'll be the rest of us. You know how it was. You know, it was with OJ, man. It's the same thing. So here is someone who, and this is a problem in the brain where you have no conscience. And it's been said that to people like that, to people like Casey Anthony, emotions and feelings are like distant radio signals, very faint. Barely pick them up. All you're doing is looking around at people and seeing who is best for you in any given instance. Who can help you go where you want to go, be who you want to be, do the stuff that you want to do, have the things that you want to have. Who can you close back, can you climb on? Who can you use? To the rest of us, it sounds cruel and unthinking, and we couldn't possibly imagine being that kind of person, but we don't get it. We don't get it. That's not a decision you make. You're born like that, or you become that way very shortly after birth. Some of it is inherited in terms of the brain. Some of it's because of the way that you were raised. And, you know, Dr. Stone said that there's also the very bizarre, sadistic psychopath that's created who's had a head injury. That's really gone, you know.
Yeah, well, he said that one guy had a couple of people that got a bump on the head.
Yeah, they got a bump on the head. You know, I saw a deal here on this Investigation Discovery. You guys know I watch that like a maniac.
Yeah, I'd say, man, it's like 5 in the morning, still watch it.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll learn something. Because they had a story on there, and I just, wait a minute, what did they say? Now, get a load of this. They had a story on there where there was a woman who meets a man who claims to be the heir, or one of the scions, if you will, of a wealthy and well-known American family. It was a Navy family. I forget the name. I think it was the guy that founded the Naval Construction Brigade, otherwise known as the Seabees. This guy meets this woman. He says, you know, my father was Admiral so-and-so. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. And not only that, but I've won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And not only that, I'm a captain this and a captain that. And he had all of these uniforms. And she was like, wow, really impressed. And he somehow was able to bullcrap their way into all kinds of stuff, including meeting, I think, a president of the United States. And this is how they lived, and this is how they traveled. And gradually the guy's lies began to unravel until one night he tries to kill her by first knocking her out with whatever, chloroform or ether.
Yeah.
And she's able to talk her way out of this thing, get out of the hotel room. He's arrested, charged with attempted murder, and put into jail. And eventually he did get out, and then he committed suicide. Well, this is a guy that was lying to this woman, and he lied to other women, too. He was going to kill this girl, you know. He was going to murder her that night because he'd run out of lies, and he'd run through her money, and he needed to get rid of her. And she was closing in on him a little bit. She was finding out stuff about him. Anyway, I'm watching this show, and at the end, they said, oh, and you know, he had an accident in the Navy. He was in the Navy, and he was related to this famous admiral, except he had been sort of excommunicated from the family.
Like a black sheep.
Yes, he was. He was the black sheep of the family. So he was telling her the truth about that, but what he didn't tell her was the family wanted nothing to do with him. And they told her something after he died. They said he had an accident in the Navy where he had a very serious head injury.
Oh, man, that's another thing. What about Dr. Stone said?
Exactly. Something about diving into an empty swimming. No, I'm kidding. He didn't dive into an empty. But he apparently was a swimming accident. He bumped his head. And they said after that happened, his personality changed. He became really erratic. He became less reliable. He became undependable. It's just very strange things happen in terms of his personality. This is after a head injury, which is what Dr. Stone was saying. So I heard that one, and that's the thing they're also looking into, you know.
What are you saying? Like, this Casey Anthony had a bump on the head?
Maybe. Maybe they ought to look into that, man. I'm serious. Maybe not. You know, maybe not. It could be just hereditary. They say there's two things that causes somebody to be a psychopath. Part of it's hereditary. Nature and nurture is what they call it. Nature being the hereditary part. Nurture being the part how you're raised around the environment that you're in. Was she loved? Was she cuddled? Was she this? Was she that? And that's how psychopaths are made. So I had this article here. There's a guy, a doctor by the name of Dr. Robert Hare, and I believe he's an American psychiatrist who came up with a personality trait checklist to figure out whether or not you are a psychopath. There's 20 personality traits: superficial charm, proneness to boredom, lack of empathy, lack of remorse, grandiose sense of self-worth, and other things. For each one of these, they give you a score of 0, 1, or 2. If you total a score of 30 or more out of 40, you're a psychopath. That's it. You're doomed. You're a psychopath for life. That's what this guy said. We got to look that up. It's called the Robert Hare checklist.
I don't understand how guys not care about anybody. What about run over a dog and stuff?
I don't know, bud, about running over dogs. Jeez, what a crazy question to ask me. How do I know?
Yeah, what if a psychopath care about if a dog guy got killed or something?
I don't know, man, but I do know one thing. One time I was watching some people, I forget how this happened, but one of them fainted, you know, and I was sitting at a table. I think it was a volleyball tournament. Now, there were four people talking, and I'm sitting at a table, and I was talking with some people, and I was in the days when I was smoking a cigarette, and I think I might have been drinking a beer, and I looked over just in time to see a woman collapse and fall. Out of these four people, this one woman collapsed and fell, and I turned in my seat, and I immediately saw, out of the four, two of them bend down and help her. One guy stood there with his arms folded across his chest, and he kept standing there, and he kept standing there. Now, don't ask me why I noticed him, but I saw, and I remember saying to my friends, I go, wow, I said, look what happened to that lady over there, and they go, yeah, and these two people were coming to her aid and propping her head up and putting her feet up, trying to get blood back into her head for whatever reason she fainted, and this guy kept standing there with his arms folded across his chest, looking down. Now, I don't know, and it don't make any difference to me. She seemed like she was okay. But this dude never moved. He just kept staring. Almost as if he was looking at something kind of interesting, like, a fountain or, traffic on the freeway. Just something completely apart from him, you know.
What if he's still standing there?
Maybe he's still standing there. Yeah, that's very funny. But all right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. Oprah, it ends tomorrow. Phil, oh, no. Wait a minute, that's today.
Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show here. Actually, I have on our Phil TV in HD, I have this video cast that shows the fainting of this volleyball player, the fainting of somebody, and the fact that I think it's the woman that doesn't help. But the guy's talking. There's a woman there and a guy there. The man's talking to the woman, and I think it's the woman that's going to faint. He's talking. It's Channel 13 out of probably Tampa. Now the man with the hands in the pocket, as I remember, he's the guy that never budged. He's talking, he's smiling, he's laughing. Now, this young lady sounds like she looks like she's in a little bit of distress. She can tell maybe she's tired or she simply hasn't eaten or she's nervous. But she's talking to this guy, and now she's falling down. She falls down, and the dude stands there looking at her. Look at that. You see that? Now he finally goes down to assist her, and I think it's one of those situations where, you know, call me crazy, but I think it's one of those situations where this dude saw the woman faint. He didn't do anything, and then he saw the other guy react to assist her, and finally he went down on one knee to see how she was doing. But he had his hands in his pockets staring at this woman. She fell down, and the guy that's on TV, right? Oh, let me turn this fan off here.
Yeah, I can't hear you, the fan.
You can hear me. You're sitting right next to me. Anyway, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I thought the guy's on television, and he had to stop doing a TV report and help the lady.
Yeah, but why does the other guy got to do anything?
But wouldn't it be normal for you, if you saw someone faint, to want to help them?
No. Well, I mean, it depends.
What's it depend on?
Who it is.
Will you come on and get serious? This guy's standing there. He's talking to this young lady, and there's another guy there. I don't know what that clown was doing there in the first place. And the girl faints. The guy that's doing the report on TV has got his microphone. He's got a camera there. And now this girl is falling almost into his arms. He goes to her assistance as she's laying there in the sand. Meanwhile, this joker with the jacket and the pants is just standing there staring. Never once does he do anything to help her.
Yeah, but I don't know if that means the guy's a psychopath. Maybe he's afraid of sick people. Maybe he's afraid she's going to throw up and everything.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who get scared of a situation like that, and they don't want to do nothing.
I don't know, man. That sounds pretty far out. What do you mean scared and they don't want to do nothing?
Well, the guy's going to sit there and... Dude, maybe she's going to, like what Rob was saying, throw up and everything, and didn't want to give her a hand or nothing. Except maybe just, hey. That kind of a hand.
Quit being funny, okay? I don't know. I don't agree. I think that there's a situation where, hey, who's directing the video cast tonight?
I don't know.
Well, I don't like that ball thing.
What?
The way it's fading between shots. Everything is like squeezing down to a... What is that? I don't like it. All right. So, nonetheless, that's our little speech there. Okay, so, speaking of psychopaths, Oprah Winfrey, I'm kidding.
People are going to be mad at that.
I'm joking. Oprah Winfrey, well, this is called Oprah Withdrawal Syndrome, OWS. Woo! Anyway, Winfrey Departure Disorder, whatever you want to call it, it's starting up, baby. When Winfrey wraps up her show today, man, after 25 years as TV's most popular daytime talk show personality, fans like Blakely, Sarah Blakely, who has been steadily watching the show for at least 15 years since she was 25, know that it might feel more like a death in the family. Well, I've been watching her show off and on since it came on in 1986. What's that make me?
You ain't seen one whole Oprah show never in your life. Not one.
I think I've seen a whole one. Yeah, I have. But the point is, I've been watching a lot longer than this lady for 15 years. That ain't nothing. Anyway, she's 25 years old. I mean, she's been watching since she was 10. I'm going to suffer. I'm already thinking about how to get the DVD set, she said. She's a positive message in a sea of television that is mostly mindless. She really encouraged all of us women to be the best that we could be. Yeah, I got to say that about Oprah.
I don't know, man. I didn't like that magazine. And the one thing you said that one time, I agree with that.
What?
When you said that she had in parties.
Yeah, she's having parties at her house.
So? She can have parties at her house.
Yeah, all that magazine about how to be rich.
Well, and you know, I agree with you on that one. That O magazine was kind of interesting because... if you read O, which was Oprah's magazine, she had articles in there that were self-help and self-improvement and this and that and a bunch of other stuff. But it was pretty much like, oh, and here's a party that I had last week. And this pad she's got, man. Which house was that?
I don't know. It's the one that it could be any one of them.
I don't know. It must have been Montecito, right?
What about Hawaii, man? It's got all that big land down there.
I don't know where it was. But I'm pretty sure it's the Montecito house, a big-ass house. And she had some party, and invited a lot of women. It was an all-female affair. I think they brought, you know, you could bring husbands and boyfriends, sort of, if the husbands and boyfriends kept their mouths shut and stayed in the backdrop and, you know, just pretended they were eunuchs. And anyway...
What do you mean?
I'm just kidding. But what I'm saying is, so Oprah had this big party, and I remember reading this saying, well, all this magazine is about how to be wealthy. You know, because she's on. Here's something that we did, and here's another thing we did, and then we went to the pavilion, and then after that we went into the cabana, and after that we went to the South Pool. And but you know what? If you got it, man.
If you got it, man, spend it.
Well, she's spending it all right. Anyway, she wasn't just speaking in the general sense, this lady Blakely, the fan, because of the inventor of the shapewear Spanx. Huh? She's also an illustration of something media experts call the Oprah effect, Winfrey's ability to turn a product into a multi-million dollar consumer brand just by mentioning its name. Blakely noted that her undergarment company now has $350 million in sales each year after Winfrey mentioned her product in passing. Who, this Blakely woman? Wow. We sold 20,000 pairs that day alone, and the show wasn't even about my product. Oh, so this lady, this Blakely, no wonder she's a big fan. She's 25 years old. She's been watching since she was 15. And she's the inventor of Spanx.
What's that?
It's a pair of pants or something, I guess.
Oh, wait a minute, man. At 25 years old?
Yeah, that's what this is about. This lady they're interviewing, Blakely, Sarah Blakely, she invented Spanx. Oh, she's 40. She watched it when she was 25 to now. She's 40. So she says she's suffering. I'll bet she's suffering, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll bet she's suffering because the next time if she comes out with Spanx 2, man, Oprah ain't going to be around to plug it.
Spanx. They probably ought to pull off the shelves on account of the FCC.
FCC don't control underwear, man. Only radio shows, okay?
Well, who does?
Federal Trade Commission. What are they going to pull it off the... Why? Because it's called Spanx?
Well, yeah, that is kind of bad.
It ain't bad. S-P-A-N-X.
Uh-oh, that's not how you spell it.
That's how she spells it, okay? I know how you spell it. S-P-A-N-K-S, I guess.
What?
Never mind, man. All right, so anyway, leaving a broadcast perch, reaching an estimated 7 million viewers daily... may make it tougher for the queen of all media to move pop culture, but even as her fans mourn her passing from the broadcast landscape as she nurtures her new Oprah Winfrey Network on cable, Winfrey feels the opposite. Lots of people say it's bittersweet. I say it's all sweet, no bitter, she told the Baltimore Sun. I've done as well as I know how to do, and so it's time to go to the next thing. You know, she's the queen of all media, but when you think of the king of all media, you think of Howard Stern, right?
Yeah.
Now, Howard did a movie, and he did a movie that initially grossed here in the United States $50 million. But since then, with the DVD and everything, man, and it's always, you know, I don't know how much bread that movie's made, but I'm sure it's made a lot of bread. And then he's had his radio show, you know, and whatever else, and he produced a couple of TV shows. So who do you think's got more bread? Probably Oprah, huh?
Oh, yeah, man, Oprah got way more money. Even though Howard had a movie, Oprah had that TV show, man. Howard got a radio show. But that TV show, man, worth billions, man.
Yeah. So she's the queen of all media, all right, man. She's kicking ass. Experts say there hasn't been a departure with this much impact on TV since 1992. Who went off the air in 1992, bud?
What off the where, when?
What went off the air in 1992?
The Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks. What about you, Robert?
Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson.
I don't even know. I don't remember him.
Yeah, I know you don't, but Johnny Carson was the biggest thing on television, man. Big. I mean, late night TV. He owned it. There were, every time they tried to put somebody up against Johnny Carson, man, it wouldn't work. Kicked all their asses. So you could say that Johnny Carson was, before Oprah, he was like the big thing. In 1992, that's the year the Tonight Show host Johnny Carson stepped down after 30 years that he spent defining the shape of late-night television. And because there's so much more competition now than when Winfrey started a quarter of a century ago, there may never be another figure like her. It's true, you know. There's been bigger rated TV shows, but as someone who really defined a day part and genre, there's no one bigger, said Brad Adgate, director of research for New York ad buying firm Horizon Media. Are you kidding me? Is that the guy's name?
What?
Adgate? The dude is the director of research for New York ad buying from Horizon Media, and his name's Brad Adgate.
Man, he must have changed his name on a professional level.
I bet you he did.
I'm making a joke. You think he is, dearest? He really did that?
Yeah, I bet you he did. I bet you he changed his name to Adgate. Her achievement stretches from becoming the first black woman to land on Forbes' list of richest Americans to creating the quickest magazine startup in history, O Magazine, and minting the careers of such superstars as Dr. Phil McGraw, Rachel Ray, and Susie Orman. Oh, God, she's the one who did that, huh?
Yeah.
As soon as I got the Susie Orman. But her greatest accomplishment may be creating a singular voice for mostly white, mostly middle-class women on television. It's a particular achievement for a black woman with roots in serious poverty, who built her image on TV before our very eyes. She's capitalized on women's tendency to fall into cliques and follow the most popular girls, said Robin Okrant, a playwright and the inventor of the Okrant, a pair of really tight panties. Don't take that from me.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding. She's actually a playwright and a yoga teacher who spent 2008 living according to the rules articulated on Winfrey's show and in her magazine, eventually writing the 2010 book Living Oprah. She now weighs 80 pounds and has leprosy. And yeah, don't pull it away from me, man.
Well, we don't know if you're telling the truth, man.
What do you think? I'm kidding.
Yeah, we gotta see.
Don't grab the copy from me. All right, we'll be right back with more here, the concluding segment of our marvelous, mellifluous radio show this evening here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. One more bit of a celebrity to dispense with, and that is the TV show Dancing with the Stars, Hines Ward, who is a great football player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the world champion. Pittsburgh Steelers won Dancing with the Stars. The dancing was top-notch, the competition was intense, but there could be only one winner as the latest season of Dancing with the Stars came to a close. After the rest of the season's contestants and a string of musical guests, it was Hines Ward who received the series' coveted Mirror Ball Trophy alongside his partner Kim Johnson. You know, starting this competition, I never thought I'd be in the finals, the NFL champion told Tom Bergeron, but I owe it all to Kim. She's an amazing teacher, and I want to thank the judges for giving us the constructive criticism to help me get better each week. Also, I want to thank all the fans. Also, what am I doing here?
You didn't say that.
No. Before Hines was announced as the champ, the last couples duked it out in the competition's final dance round, where all three celebrity contestants wowed the judges. Kane performed the waltz. Allie grooved the cha-cha. We all know about Kirstie Alley and her cartwheeling, right? And
yeah, you're making fun of that, man, but that wasn't much of a cartwheel.
I wasn't making fun of it, man. I said, all right, big deal. And that wasn't even me. That was Larry Grover or somebody who said it was Don Berman. He said if she cartwheeled right on top of two infants that were laying on a couch.
Why would she do that?
I don't know, man. It was Berman who was saying that if there were any babysitters out there watching the show and decided to try a cartwheel and they fell and cartwheeled right on top of a poodle or a small dog or a small kid. Anyway, Ward's victory wasn't the only highlight during the finale. Mike Psycho Mike Catherwood, the season's first cast-off, taped a skit of himself trying out for different dance troupes before showing off his new and improved moves on the dance floor. Petra Nemkova offered fans a flashback when she danced the waltz to a live rendition of You Raise Me Up. And blah, 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 blah. Some celebs in the audience, including Dancing with the Stars alumni Aaron Carter and Brandy. The show brought out even more powerful star power throughout the night with the Black Eyed Peas, who are universally hated, I might add, and the Go-Go's and Sarah Evans took over the stage to perform eye-catching numbers.
What do you say that about Black Eyed Peas?
Black Eyed Peas can't perform anywhere without people just saying they suck. I don't know. I mean, you know. Anyway, I don't think they're that bad, but...
Yeah, when they get the Super Bowl, everybody hate them.
Why, man? I don't understand. I mean, yeah, they do some stupid songs. They do some good songs, too. Whatever. Are they talking about that My Lady bump bullcrap?
Probably.
I thought it was funny that the Super Bowl had the Black Eyed Peas on. The Grey Cup, the Canadian Football League Championship, had them on like 5 years ago. I mean, isn't that supposed to be the other way around? And it was like 30 below. With a glow-in-the-dark stage setup accompanied by robot gear, Bep brought the audience to their feet with the new single Don't Stop the Party, while the Go-Go's celebrated the 30th anniversary of their debut album, Beauty and the Beat, by performing We Got the Beat. Dancing with the Stars.
That's a new show, Beating with the Stars.
Right. Anyway, contestant Evans was on hand to perform her song A Little Bit Stronger. By then, the audience had pretty much drifted out with just a few people in the back row. As she concluded her number, there was only one guy sweeping up. All right.
Really?
No, not really, man. How many times I got to tell you? So that's what happened on Dancing with the Stars. What do you think about Hines Ward, huh?
Well, I mean, let's face it, man. If you're a football player, that's entertainment, so might as well, you know.
It used to be in the off-season, the guys would do a lot of different things. They used to have a thing called the Superstar Competition where they would ride bicycles. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I've seen replays of it.
They would have a track meet, then they'd ride a bike, and then they'd have to lift weights. Some junk, you know, the Superstar Competition. What cracked me up is that the athletes would be, okay, like a football player, and then there'd be a hockey player, and then there'd be a basketball player, and there would be guys that, you know, and then they had one where they had a football player, and they had a NASCAR race car driver, you know?
Yeah.
And that was, so all these dudes are doing all this athletic stuff, and the NASCAR guy is trying to ride a bike, and he was like dead last, and...
Well, this guy's driving a car.
Yeah, but the point is, you don't, even though it takes a great deal of skill to drive a race car, there's no question that it takes a great deal, and a lot of physical strength, you don't necessarily think of a NASCAR or an automobile race driver as a guy who is going to play basketball well, or throw a football, or anything like that, or run track, for that matter. That was the other thing. They had the bicycle, and here comes, I forget who it was, somebody like Cale Yarborough. Cale Yarborough, dead last on his unicycle. And then
a unicycle
or whatever it was. And then I think they had a football toss competition. He's dead last in that. So it was pretty funny. And then the only other guy that really sucked was the hockey player. Now, I don't know why that was, you know.
Yeah, it's because the white guys going against black guys.
No, man, that's not it. That's racial. Not racial, but that's racism. Ain't it?
It's stupid. Yes, it is racist, bud.
Why is that racist? It's true.
No, it ain't true, you jackass. It ain't true, and I'm not going to go into why it ain't true, okay?
No, go ahead. You got to tell him.
Oh, man, I don't want to go into this right now, okay?
Come on, explain it to me.
Doesn't make any difference. I'll explain it to you. The reason why there's a lot of black kids that play in sports is because the economic opportunity afforded by sports was the most readily available to them. All the other traditional avenues of business and enterprise in this country had been traditionally shut off to black people. And so generation after generation after generation became accustomed to accessing sports as the quickest way to economic health, wealth, stability, etc. Now, of course, things are changing. And so we will see probably over the next few generations, and it will take generations. People think all this stuff takes place in 20 years or 10 years or 5 years. It takes generations. But over the next few generations, we're going to see it begin to equal out. Probably a lot of white kids will be in sports, okay? Who knows?
That mean the white people won't have no money?
I don't know what it means. It means basically this. It means that all areas of life will be open, hopefully will be open to all people, and all people will be able to take advantage of all things. Jeez. You know, the very first guy that won the Heisman Trophy, a guy by the name of, with a very unfortunate name of Jay Berwanger.
Really?
Yeah. That guy won the first Heisman Trophy. I don't know what position he played. He played football in college. But he didn't opt for a professional football career. He was drafted, I think, by the Chicago Bears. But he also had an opportunity, I think, to go into another field. I don't know what it was. And make more money at that. And he said to the NFL, thanks a lot, but why don't you, you know, get out of my face. Get away from me. Get away. No, don't you want to play? No, I don't want to play football. Get out of here, you know. I got other things I'm going to do with my life, like make money. So, you know, as life changes and as these things change, we all change. Oh, the show's ending? Well, tomorrow night, guys, I'm sure will be better. The Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is John Elk, and our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. The Phil Hendry Show, of course, online as well at philhendryshow.com. Pick up a BSP. Watch the video cast from tonight, especially between the second and third hour when I lose it.
Phil Hendry.